Chapter 12, Big Sister's Wedding. Father and Yang continued to travel to Tianjin on business. Sometimes they took Big Sister out of school to accompany them. Everyone wondered why. Did Father need Big Sister's translation skills? It soon turned out Yang had other ideas. During the Chinese New Year holidays in 1948, Yang's plans came to light. On Sunday afternoon, Big Sister came into my room after lunch. Aunt Baba, Yeye, and I were playing cards. She sat down on Aunt Baba's bed and told us that Father and Yang were lunching at the posh Cathay Hotel with guests from Tianjin. Dr. Song was Nai Nai's doctor and used to live next door to us. His son, Samuel, had recently returned from America and was looking for a job. Big Sister wouldn't play with us, but kept doodling Chinese and English words on a sheet of paper. I leaned over and saw that she had scribbled Mrs. Samuel Song in English and Chinese, over and over, about 30 times. Then she told us Father and Yang had introduced Samuel to her, and she had agreed to marry him. She was smiling as she related this and appeared quite pleased. But I felt sad and frightened for her. I thought to myself, Big Sister is only 17 years old, and Samuel is already 31, almost twice her age. When I get to be 17, I sure don't want to be taken out of school to marry someone I've just met, especially when he is so much older. How can Big Sister remain so cheerful when her life is about to take such a ghastly turn? To be taken out of school and thrust into the arms of a stranger. No more classes. No more schoolmates. No possibility of ever going to college. Not even a high school diploma. How devastating! What did Yang say to induce Big Sister to agree to such a fate? Why is she going along with it? Is this going to happen to me too? I'll simply have to run away from home if Yang ever threatens to force me into an arranged marriage. But where can I go? Who will take me in? There must be millions of unwanted Chinese girls like me in Shanghai. I imagined Yang introducing me to a strange man and ordering me to marry him. The thought filled me with horror and fear. Weeks before Big Sister's wedding, gifts started arriving at our house. Yang carefully sorted them out and kept the best ones for herself. 3 days before the wedding, Grand Aunt personally entrusted a special small package wrapped in gold foil for Aunt Baba to hand to Big Sister. On opening the elegant leather case in Aunt Baba's room, Big Sister found a lovely pendant made of antique imperial green jade hanging from a heavy gold chain. She immediately put it on and gasped with pleasure while she admired herself in the mirror. Then she begged Aunt Baba and me not to mention Grand Aunt's gift to a soul, obviously intending to keep the pendant without telling Yang. The wedding was a formal and brilliant affair with a banquet for 500 in the Grand Ballroom on the 9th floor of the Cathay Hotel, situated at the junction of the Bund and fashionable Nanjing Lu and overlooking the Huangpu River. The room was filled with masses of fresh flowers, and the Chinese character for double happiness was outlined in red blooms against the wall. Big Sister was elegantly dressed in a beautiful pink 旗袍 and silver shoes, while Samuel wore a tuxedo. Two professional radio comedians acted as masters of ceremonies. I had nothing to wear but an old pink 旗袍 that had been handed down by Big Sister when she grew out of it. Though I didn't look particularly nice, at least I didn't stand out and no one noticed me. My three older brothers, however, were having a horrible time. For this special occasion, Father ordered them to have fresh haircuts. My brothers' heads were shaved cleanly, so not a trace of hair remained. They were wearing identical dark blue traditional long Chinese robes with high collars and cloth buttons. As soon as they stepped into the foyer, I saw some boys their age pointing at them and snickering behind their backs. When they entered the main ballroom, one of the boy guests, who recognized them from St. John's, immediately called out to another across the room, "Hey, it's kind of dark in here. Thank goodness three light bulbs have just walked in. With them around, there's no need for lamps." "Nah, those aren't light bulbs. They are enlightened, that's all. Those are three new monks who have seen the light. They've taken the vow of chastity and abstinence. From now on, they'll eat tofu only." Everyone doubled up with laughter. I cringed on behalf of my brothers. Their dilemma was compounded because all the other guests were so fashionably dressed. Men and boys wore dark Western suits. Women were bejeweled and in silk qipaos or formal Western gowns. Fourth brother had his hair cut in the latest pageboy manner. He looked very smart in a brand new navy jacket with sharply creased matching trousers, white shirt, and necktie. Little sister wore a frilly red satin dress with ribbons in her hair and jade bracelets on her wrists. Towards the end of the banquet, I went to the toilet. While I was inside one of the cubicles, I heard one woman remark to another about the different treatment received by father's two sets of children from his two wives. Immediately afterwards, two other women entered. They were chatting and laughing, and I recognized Grand Aunt's distinct Ningpo accent. I was about to emerge and greet her when I heard the other woman answer. It was Niang. A chill went down my spine. I felt guilty, though I had done nothing. I kept as still as a mouse and dared not move. The longer I stayed, the more impossible it became to come out. Grand Aunt was complimenting Niang on her jade ring, telling her it had the same translucency as the jade pendant she had asked Aunt Baba to hand to Big Sister as a wedding present. In a few sentences, Niang had already found out everything without revealing she had been kept in the dark about the gift. Hearing this, I was more nervous than ever and stayed motionless in my stall until long after they had left. I knew my sister would get into big trouble if I didn't warn her, so I waited until I saw her going by herself into her dressing room, which was a storeroom emptied out and set aside for her to change her clothes. I told her of the conversation I had overheard between Grand Aunt and Niang. Tears came to her eyes, and she patted me fondly on my head. "I'll never forget this kindness on your part. Thanks for the tip-off. You are the best sister in the world, and I'll always be indebted to you." For the first time, she was kind to me, and I felt very close to her. Later, I saw Big Sister and Yang walking towards the balcony and talking privately just before she and Samuel left for their honeymoon. Was she able to explain it all away? I hoped so. I only wished I could have helped her more. Next morning, third brother told me he was playing hide-and-seek on the balcony of the Cathay Hotel after the wedding banquet when he overheard Big Sister and Yang talking. He was hiding behind a large potted plant and could hear them very plainly. In a tone full of regret and self-reproach, Big Sister was confessing about something on her conscience, which did not permit her to remain silent any longer. Although Aunt Baba had sworn her to secrecy and advised her not to reveal to Nyang Grand Aunt's wedding gift of a jade pendant, she had decided to ignore Baba's instruction because our aunt was being selfish and dishonest. Besides, the piece of jade would be a perfect match for Nyang's favorite jade ring, and she begged Nyang to accept it. In one stroke, Big Sister had endeared herself to Nyang while simultaneously denouncing Aunt Baba. Touched by Big Sister's honesty and generosity, Nyang immediately allowed her to keep the jade pendant. Promising to be forever loyal to Nyang regardless of Baba's sedition, Big Sister swore Nyang to secrecy, thus remaining in the good graces of both while driving the wedge ever deeper between Nyang and Aunt Baba. She then left on her honeymoon in an excellent mood, wearing her beautiful jade with a clear conscience.